Jump in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
All right, fantasy football freaks, we are back.
Woo!
Episode 13 of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. I am, of course, your co-host every week, the coach, and I am here with a man who earned the nickname Cuff Buddy during his wilder days at Arizona State. This is my friend Rusty. Rusty, you remember those days at Arizona State?
But barely. Coach, I killed a few brain cells with that. Fun fact, though, by the way, I never actually attended school at Arizona State.
Follow-up fun fact, that's why Rusty is no longer allowed at Arizona State University.
Yeah, there's a few restraining orders in that state. I can't actually even cross the border. But anyway, enough about my various legal finagalings. How are you doing this week, Coach?
I am good. We are recording again on a Thursday night because somebody had other work commitments, but we're not going to mention who. So we are sitting here watching the Rams and the Seahawks play what is so far a surprisingly decent Thursday night game for the second week in a row.
It's certainly not the mediocre garbage that we've seen on most weeks, except for the last week when we had that shootout going on. But my goodness, the Rams, I mean... We're at halftime, and I don't know what the heck's going on with those guys. I really don't know what it is.
I'm pretty sure what happened is last year in the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick literally broke this franchise. Like, they are done. Todd Gurley is done. Jared Goff is a deer in the headlights. Sean McVay is going back to preschool after this. They are done. But we'll talk about that a little bit more next week, because we're recording on a Thursday, there's no point looking back. We are going to look forward with you and go over some of the most exciting fantasy matchups to look ahead to for players either that you have or that you should be trying to get onto your roster. Mm-hmm. So Rusty, where do you want to start with this weekend's games?
I think I'd like to start with fantasy, the official fantasy domination fantasy game of the week. I'm going to go with the 2-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the 3-1 New Orleans Saints inside the dome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, whatever it is. We're in New Orleans, we're inside a dome. New Orleans' offense is has been surprisingly competent with Teddy Bridgewater, and you've got Tampa Bay, which are we going to get good Jameis, or are we going to get bad Jameis? Are we going to get 55 points and 500 yards, or are we going to get... I don't know, but that's going to be the most interesting game for my money in terms of potential fantasy performances. Winston has been hot. He's been hot the last couple of weeks, and Mike Evans and Mr. Godwin have been coming along for the ride with him. So suddenly that looks like a very good offense. And by the way, don't look now, folks, but Ronald Jones may actually be starting to come to his own a little bit later than we expected. But Mr. Peyton Barber may be getting pushed to the wayside a little bit from what we've seen so far. So I'm expecting a lot of offensive fireworks, Coach, which of course means they're going to let me down and be like a 6-3 game or something.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that that Ronnie Jones is legit. I don't know. I'm just refusing to. I've seen enough of him play. I've seen enough of that's not a great running back. You know, we'll see where he lands. The challenge with Tampa Bay, and we're going to talk Tampa Bay first here, is they're getting the numbers, but they're weird numbers. And they're not consistent when it comes to specific players. So if you want to play Chris Godwin, let's say, okay, maybe that's going to be a good move. But this might be the week that Mike Evans takes off. You know, we saw this past week, Godwin 12 for 172 and 2. Mike Evans had a pedestrian for him game of 489 and 1. You flip to the week before that. It was Mike Evans that blew up ridiculously. So can these guys be consistently good together? That's going to be the challenge. And hey, at some point, O.J. Howard's going to have a breakout game where he may get 5 or 6 catches.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, did that sound bitter?
No,
I mean, they are burying. Like, this is O.J. Howard's having one of those seasons where you just want to say trade the guy just to save his value.
Oh, but hey, you know, Cameron Brake got a touchdown at least. That is so infuriating if you have O.J. Howard to know that he's the better tight end. And meanwhile, Cameron Brate's getting all the goal line looks and has more touchdowns and everything like that. It's just a slap in the face.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. I've been an O.J. Howard fan since he came into the league. It's harder and harder and harder and harder to support that these days. We might be done. We might be done with O.J. Howard. If you have O.J. Howard, it might be time to move on. We're past panic. It might be just time to bail.
And of course, you know, as soon as you drop him, what's going to happen, Coach? He's going to blow right up.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on to New Orleans, shall we? Kamara has seems to have gotten his groove back, as evidenced by the last game or two. Again, Bridgewater's been competent. Michael Thomas has been Michael Thomas, just so underratedly consistent, as you said last week, Coach. But I don't know. New Orleans, it looks like obviously they're not quite as good as they were, but they're still 3-1, and they're still being able to support a couple of fantasy-relevant gentlemen.
So New Orleans, I think what we're seeing without Breeze is that they've lost their explosiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still good. You know, they'll still get the guys that you want are still going to get theirs. But there's just not going to be, like, I don't see Teddy Bridgewater leading them to a 50-point outing unless the defense scores 3 or 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. He doesn't have to, you know, he's not being paid to put up fantasy points. Let's put it that way. He's being paid to shepherd this team while Drew Brees is out and to keep them in the playoff picture. If that means winning 13-12, so be it. They'll take every win like that they can.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to another game then, shall we? Unless you got anything else to say, Coach?
Nope. That's it. Ted Ginn, still not great.
All right. I agree.
And you should see his son play football.
All right. Next game I want to highlight. The 3-1 Buffalo Bills at the 2-2 Tennessee Titans.
All right, well, Rusty has a little nap there because, well, the Tennessee Titans are usually boring as hell. They've actually been kind of interesting this year. Not consistent. But Mariota, you know, when you factor in the garbage time too, Mariota's making plays. You know, he's passing the ball. You know, he's in a contract year. He and Jameis Winston are both playing for that next deal, whether it's with their current team or to get somebody else to pick them up as a free agent. So, you know, we're seeing Mariota. I think we might be seeing the best of Mariota. We're getting, you know, he's getting some use out of his receivers. We've had a Corey Davis sighting. AJ Brown is getting that rookie inconsistency that we all love slash hate. Delanie Walker is also there. It's it's not as terrible an offense as we expected, but it's still dull. Still incredibly a dull team.
Sorry, how long was I out, Coach?
Oh, I've been talking for about 3 hours now.
Oh, yeah. Well, all about Tennessee.
Yep, still talking about the Tennessee Titans.
And the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen might not play because he's got a concussion, and Matt Buck is going to play. All right, I think we should move on because that's not going to be a great game at all. All right, here's one that would be interesting, but on a more train wreck, lopsided type of thing. The 4-0 New England Patriots visit the 0-4 Washington professional football team.
So, Washington, where do we start? Oh, yes, we start with the owner, who is maybe now we could argue the worst owner in professional sports. Now, we don't know that he's racist. He might be. A lot of them are. We know where his politics lie, if that's a factor for you. But we also know he's overseen a multi-decade decline of this once legendary franchise to the point where they're now a joke.
It's terrible.
They are an absolute joke. They've had a couple of bright spots this year. Scary Terry McLaurin was fun until he got hurt. Who knows what it's going to look like after that. They threw Dwayne Haskins under the bus last week. That did not look pretty.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
The coach is on life support at this point, the other Gruden. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, again, you look at it, and what's he supposed to do? They've got an all-pro left tackle who's not playing because he's holding out. The team won't trade him, but they're also not going to pay him, so they don't have him. So this is another one of those classic situations of where the coach is going to eat it, and they're going to blame everything on him, but the problem is the front office, ownership, and the roster that they have constructed.
Start your Patriots. Even for the half of football you'll get out of them, it'll still be a pretty good game. This is probably a get-right game for Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, and we know Tom Brady, like, he doesn't come out. Even if it's into garbage time and he's up by 40 points, Tom Brady will not come out of the game unless he's injured.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Sunday night game. I would have been more excited for it if Andrew Luck was still playing, because you got the Colts and the Chiefs. 2-2 Indy at 4-0 Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City looks unstoppable. The only question is which receiver is going to get his this week. Mahomes will get his, obviously. Is this the week that Travis Kelce finally gets a touchdown and has a blow-up performance? He's been consistently great all season so far. But which of the other wide receivers is going to get theirs? And which freaking running back do you go with this week? Probably go with Shady McCoy still as the guy. But who knows? Because Andy Reid's going to do Andy Reid things.
Yep. That's a case where they just literally have too many talented players. Mm-hmm. And who knows, you know, is it going to be, you know, I mean, we might have a Sammy Watkins sighting. Haven't really had one of those since week one when he blew up and we told you to trade him as soon as you could. Mm-hmm. We might, you know, is it going to be DeMarcus Robinson? Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? You know, we know Tyreek Hill's back on the field. I don't think he's going to be in playing yet, but he's going to be back in that equation soon. And I do want to say, before you say that they're unstoppable, they did have to barely squeak out a win over the Detroit Lions last week.
Yeah, Detroit Lions are, I don't know. They're not as bad as we thought they were. No.
Which I believe is now the official city motto for the city of Detroit. Detroit! Not as bad as you thought we were. And it's worth noting the Tigers were the worst team in baseball this year. So maybe Detroit is as bad as you thought it was.
Oh, maybe they're the new Cleveland. A notable team, speaking of the Lions, they have the bye this week. Maybe one of the most fantasy noteworthy teams is not playing either. That is the Miami Dolphins. They are the worst team in football right now. And they are not playing this week, which means you don't have an easy mark in terms of start everybody against the Dolphins, because you can't start anyway against the Dolphins this week.
Yeah, because we're basically, I think now we can almost safely say Dolphins, the Buccaneers, and I think the Cincinnati Bengals are moving into that territory as well of the guy, you know, those are teams you just want to play against. Mm-hmm. They're going to create stars. They're going to create players that pop up and knock you down.
Big week for David Johnson coming. Maybe that's wishful thinking because I have him in a couple of leagues. But, you know, Arizona's 0-3-1 going into 0-4 Cincinnati. Yeah, I could use some David Johnson love. So I think he has a good game.
I think it's possible.
All right, got time for one more. Let's go through the duck. Oh, let's talk about the Monday Nighter. We got 2-2 Cleveland, who looks like maybe they're riding the ship, realizing that Nick Chubb is a very good running back, and maybe they should, you know, use him more often. Baker Mayfield's still a bit of a work in progress, and we don't know what's going on with Jarvis Landry. They're visiting this 3-0 surprise San Francisco 49ers, which I don't for the life of me understand, but here we are. That actually may end up being a better game than we think.
I think it could be interesting. You know, San Francisco's got that 17-man running back committee. You know, we still don't know where Jimmy G is at in his rehabilitation from that blown knee, because, I mean, we've seen him throw decently, but they're just running the ball so damn much and so successfully.
Yeah, Garoppolo's been up and down. He was 166, 1-1 first week, and then he blew up for three touchdowns, 297 the second week, and then he did 277, one touchdown, two interceptions the third week. So he's been a mixed bag this season.
And more importantly, that's throwing off the value of the fantasy players around him, because here you have a 3-0 NFL team, and I don't think there's anybody on that roster that you absolutely want to start every week. George Kittle, because of his track record, but not because of his performance so far.
Mm-hmm. The wide receivers are a crapshoot. The running backs are, there are 20,000 of them, each getting their own little role. And Jimmy G's, but so they are right at a good NFL team, but they are terrible. They are fantasy wasteland almost.
Absolutely. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, their defense is keeping them in the game. So, you know, while the offense is not spectacular, they're there. Who knows what we're going to get from Cleveland? This is a team that's obviously still finding itself. They had a good run last year with Freddie Kitchens after he was elevated to run the offense. But this year it's looked inconsistent. They need, like you said, they need to feed Chubb. They need to find a way to keep their receivers engaged in the game. Mm-hmm. I think losing Njoku was a bigger hit than maybe we realized initially. Mm-hmm. You know, because he takes that middle of the field. Because we know OBJ, I mean, he can run those quick slants, but he's also just set him off, you know, send him down the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Landry tends to play the underneath game. Well, we had that, you're lacking that big guy across the middle. That means maybe that defense is going to spread out to the sidelines to cover the receivers. If you're smart, that's when you'll just pound with Chubb. And if that middle opens up, hit Chubb with the screens, get him loose through the middle. He's going to have some open running room.
Speaking of pounding with Chubb, that also reminds me of my time at Arizona State. Anyway, with that, we've run out of time for our first segment here. We're going to come back with our little segment we like to call Cuff Buddies. We're going to talk about who the top handcuffs are, and we're going to have a little debate over whether you should even cuff in the first place. So stay with us. We'll be right back in a little bit.
All right, freaks, we are back with the second half of this week's episode, and we are going to talk about a subject we get a lot, a surprisingly high volume of email about, and that is handcuffs. Mm-hmm. And once we weed out the S&M ones, again, people, we're the Fantasy Domination Podcast, but it's fantasy football. I guess in hindsight, we should have put football in the name.
Oh, well.
Knuckleheads. For the inquiries about handcuffs that are not bondage related, let's talk about handcuffs.
All right. You know,
some people are for them. Some people are against them. Some people don't have an opinion either way. These are guys who are guaranteed to sit on the end of your bench. They are not going to do anything until they do everything. And for some people, that's fantasy gold. And for some people, that's filler. Rusty, where do you come down on the subject of handcuffs?
I'm mostly for handcuffs in the appropriate situation. If you have a guy and there is a clearly defined gentleman behind him who, especially if they've shown in the past that they can step in and be 80 to 90% of what, you know, it's a good system on a good team and the player has enough talent to make it happen, then I think I am for cuffing in those scenarios, and we're going to talk about some of those, who those scenarios might be, especially if you are relying on that player. So I am for cuffing for the most part in the right situation. Now, if you're going to cuff a crap ass running back with someone who's not very good, then I don't know what to tell you, right? That's not a good cuff. But if there's certain ones that make sense, like you know, I'm thinking like a Dalvin Cook, for example. There is a guy who maybe you want to cuff because he has the injury history. Minnesota is clearly choosing to run on the ball to the detriment of the fact that their wide receiver wants to leave town over it. But you know, that's maybe a good example of a cuff. You're not going to cuff who's a, you're not gonna cuff Adrian Peterson with whoever the heck the second running back is right now, while Juice or Geis or whatever the heck his name is out for Washington right now. That's not a cuff, right? So, but when it makes sense, I am full handcuffing because it just makes sense.
So I'll stake out the opposite position. I'm not a fan of handcuffing. It, as you said, it's very rare that there is a player worth handcuffing. And I think generally when we talk handcuffing, it's almost exclusively running backs.
Yes.
So, I mean, there may be the occasional situation where there's a wide receiver situation, but we're talking running backs.
Fun fact, I once handcuffed a quarterback back in the day. This is back in the St. Louis Rams greatest show on turf when Kurt Warner became the starting quarterback. I actually after they had their bye, I picked up Trent Green as the handcuff for Kurt Warner because he'd shown he could do it before. But that might be the only time in history that anyone's ever handcuffed a quarterback.
I thought you were going to mention your time at Arizona State University.
Well, this is a PG podcast, so I don't think I can go there. Plus, I don't remember most of it.
All right, so let's break it down. When you might consider a handcuff, as you said, is when you've got an elite player with an intriguing backup behind him. We're not talking about the Wayne Gallmans of the world.
Oh, no.
We're not talking about the guys who are going to get a few carries, that are the Frank Gore types, veteran guys who've been there before. They're there to come in. Maybe they get 5 to 10 touches in a regular week, and they might get pressed into service for 20 touches if the star goes down. Those are not the guys you want. It's the guys who have that intrigue, that glimmer of that most toxic substance of all, potential. Mm. So when we're talking about – we're going to hop in a second to talk about some of those prime cuff guys. But I am not a fan of wasting a roster spot. I tend to go fairly lean with my running backs anyway. So I'll have my starters. I'll try to have, one backup. In most leagues, I'll go with 3 running backs as my standard. And maybe one guy who, if he gets the opportunity, maybe he'll be something, or he's a trade chip.
So you're taking other guys' handcuffs.
I will take other guys' handcuffs because if their running back goes down, then suddenly I have a valuable trade chip. I know it's a weird strategy, but I also feel like, let's say I've got in my alpha league, I have Zeke and Chubb as my running backs. I don't feel it's worthwhile to necessarily cuff those guys because if they go down, I'm kind of screwed because I don't see anybody replacing their production. Hmm. So, again, if these guys, with a handcuff, if these guys were that good, they'd most likely be playing or playing elsewhere. It's always the guy with potential because we just don't know how good he can be, but we think maybe in the right situation, this guy can come in and be something. In reality, most of them end up looking like Wayne Gallman or worse.
Wayne Gallman actually had a good game last week. I mean, it was against the Redskins, but
exactly.
Washington professional football team, but.
Show me Wayne Gallman against Minnesota this week if he gets, 100 yards and a touchdown. And you know what? I will go out and buy and wear a Wayne Gallman jersey.
You won't actually do that.
It's not a guarantee, but maybe. Well, look at it. I don't think I'm not in any danger of having to go out and buy a Wayne Gallman jersey. I might have to go custom make a Wayne Gallman jersey because I am fairly certain there is no way, unless you are Wayne Gallman, that you can get your hands on a Wayne Gallman jersey.
Even Wayne Gallman's mama doesn't have a Wayne Gallman jersey.
Nope, but that's because she's a Saquon Barkley fan. All right, we're going to step forward here then. As we're talking about cuff buddies, let's talk about the guys who would be considered the hot handcuffs. Mm-hmm. Let's shoot. We've got 5 guys that we've identified for various reasons that if you were going to go the cuff route, these are the young, unproven, but still kind of intriguing guys you want to consider. And we're going to start off because you have major shares in Dalvin Cook. We're going to talk about Alexander Mattison, the backup in Minnesota. How much do you want to cuff this guy?
I've tried to, but I can't get a trade partner to cooperate with me. And you'll go, well, Rusty, why didn't you just draft him? Well, the problem is when you acquire Dalvin Cook via trade, Dalvin Cook, sorry, via trade, you don't see that happening all the time. So like, oh, I'm gonna grab Madison in so that when I definitely acquire Dalvin Cook, because people will do that for me, now I'll have a handcuff. So I do want to cuff him. I just, it's not working out for me right now. I'll keep trying, but you got, it takes two to tango, as they say. Madison is one of those guys that, he's rookie, he's young, and when he's spelled Cook, or the game is out of hand, he's shown that he can perform. So he's one of those guys that it makes sense to cuff. Yeah, it just, when those things make sense to cuff him, and we're good to go.
All right, next up, a lot of people bought in, drafted in higher than they should have on Daryl Henderson, thinking if Todd Gurley still looks like crap, that's going to be the guy to get the touches. But they were wrong, because the cuff buddy for Todd Gurley is Malcolm Brown. Now, I know you've got a lot of Todd Gurley as well. Are you cuffing Malcolm Brown?
I have, absolutely. Now, the last few games, Gurley has not, it's not that he's necessarily hasn't looked good. He has not been given opportunity. Now, as I say that, he just scored his second touchdown of the night, of course. Probably maybe shouldn't have benched him, but I didn't think he was due, because I hate Thursday night games. But I did cuff him, and I continue to cuff him, because just, yeah. But again, he's not my primary running back anymore, so I have actually been considering not cuffing with Malcolm Brown much anymore. So,
and just for the record, what is Malcolm Brown's line in the game as we speak with 3 minutes left in the third quarter?
I don't have NFL.com up, but it's
one carry for 3 yards. No receptions, no targets. So that is the big problem when you're talking handcuffs, is when these guys aren't starting and performing, they are generally giving you almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'd rather have a wide receiver with some upside sitting on my roster, because, well, maybe he becomes useful. I'm looking at you, Geronimo Allison, over a guy like Malcolm Brown. All right, next up on the list, Tony Pollard, a guy who, if I was a handcuffer, I might have to look at, because I love me some Zeke Elliott. But well, you know what I don't love? I don't love handcuffs. I don't love cuff buddies.
You don't. You also apparently don't love his history of suspension either. Just saying.
You know what? Zeke Elliott's suspensions have worked out for me in the past for reasons that we'll get into on another podcast episode.
Is that the stupid owners, taking advantage of stupid owners episode?
Yeah, that's right, Darren. Ha!
All right.
Here's a little tip, okay? When an elite player gets suspended for multiple weeks in the season, swoop in like a dirty vulture and try to pry him away from whoever has him. Because you can make the argument, hey, you know, you'd have 6 weeks without Zeke Elliott, or you could have this very good couple of players. If it works, then you've got Zeke Elliott coming off a 6-game vacation, and that is a delightful thing to have.
It certainly is.
So you buy in shares in Tony Pollard? You finding a spot in your bench for him? Because I sure ain't.
I don't have any Zeke shares, so it doesn't, and I don't feel, there's a vulture versus a cuff, and Paula just, no, I'm not feeling it.
All right.
Not feeling it.
Okay. So let's pop to Arizona, place of many unspoken stories. David Johnson used to be an elite running back and receiving back. Now, not so much on the running back. Decent on the receiving game. We still have to wait and see how much of that is David Johnson and how much of that is the offense around David Johnson. But he's got a cuff buddy by the name of Chase Edmonds. If you have David Johnson, are you taking the cuff buddy as well?
I did for a while in the lowest leagues where I had him, because Chase Edmonds is another guy who has shown that when he's had to step in, he has been very capable and has given you near David Johnson, if not the same as David Johnson levels of performance. The funny part about it is I follow David Johnson, obviously, because I have him in a number of leagues. There's the talk about maybe you should have Chase Edmonds be the running back between the tackles and just use David Johnson as a wide receiver, especially considering all the injuries they've had there. Now, of course, they also drafted 20 rookies in the draft this year for wide receivers, so maybe they don't need to do that. But that's, I thought that was a very intriguing concept that people have been talking about. I think a lot of this depends on if he's your primary RB1. If he's your RB1, I think, and the rest of your running backs are not great, I think maybe you hold on to Chase Evans so that you have that insurance for David Johnson.
All right, and finally, here is a classic case of, is this really a cuff buddy, or is this just a running back we hate? Reichwell Armstead is the backup to confirmed knucklehead Leonard Fournette. Do we hold on to Reichwell Armstead with the belief that at some point Leonard Fournette's either going to get hurt or he's going to do something stupid and piss off Tom Coughlin and Tom Coughlin's going to suspend him? And suddenly here we are looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars led by Gardner Minshew and Reichwell Armstead.
I can't. There's certainly the knucklehead factor, but I guess
this is the scenario where we're not taking a cuff buddy based on injury history. We're taking it based on, we just don't trust this guy in any way.
Oh no, absolutely not. Because you know Fournette's gonna get her to do something stupid. It's just a matter of time. He can't help himself.
I'll take stupid over hurt, but that's just me.
Yeah.
So I might see, this is Reichwell Armstead is that guy that I might just stash at the end of my bench if I've got a roster spot to spare. I don't have any shares in Fournette. I want no part of this guy. But that's the guy who sits there, and maybe he's the first guy off the bench when I need to make an emergency move. But otherwise, he just kind of sits there. He's quiet. He may get an opportunity if this team decides to move on from Fournette. I would not be at all surprised. We still don't know what the hell the Jacksonville Jaguars are as a team, as an offense, what their identity is. But we know they don't want to be known as the knucklehead team. We've had enough of that with other squads. We've seen that with Cincinnati over the years. We've seen that with the Raiders a lot of times. You don't want to be the knucklehead team.
Nope. All right. So that's our five cuff buddies we got to examine. And when we say handcuffs, I know. Well, what about Kansas City or Philly or the Patriots? Those are more running backs by committee. I don't know. Anyway, those aren't really handcuffs, especially when a lot of those backfields have five running backs who may get touches at times. So we're not going to talk about Kansas City. We're not going to talk about Philadelphia and whatever the heck's going on there right now. Or the Patriots, who is just. I don't even know what's going on. Plus, they do the show passing game as a de facto running game half the time. The last guy I'm going to leave you with, we've already given you 30 minutes and a championship. So,
are we going into overtime here?
A little bit of overtime, just a little bit.
All right, let's get into some exciting overtime. We're talking about a real hot shot, aren't we? It's
yes.
Going to be exciting. Who is it?
Kareem Hunt.
Oh shoot.
When he comes back from his suspension, is he a handcuff that you want to hold? Because I know you have Chubb share. You got a Chubby for Nick. Is it? We're still talking football, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to cuff him with Kareem Hunt if he's available?
Well, here's the big question. Do you want Kareem Hunt as a handcuff, or would you rather see Kareem Hunt in handcuffs? That's what it's going to come down to. Do I want to... do you want that guy? It's the question. I don't know. I mean, I'm a Chubb fan. I loved him in college. I was delighted to see that he got an opportunity with the Browns. Could not have been a better situation for him to land with. He obviously blew Carlos Hyde away completely out of the state of Ohio. There's so many other factors that come into this where we're talking about a guy who, he's not the solution there. He's not the long-term answer. This is John Dorsey sticking up for a guy he drafted and giving him a soft landing with the suspension. Kareem Hunt's going to be off to another team next year. Who knows where? Maybe Washington or something like that, where team that needs a running back. This team has got to be in on Nick Chubb. And I don't think they want to try screwing it up. Kareem Hunt is still, I would say, he's a 2020 play. He is because we know what he can do, he's a handcuff option if you have Nick Chubb. It pains me to say it, but I think because we know what he is capable of, this is the one guy that I would consider handcuffing. But at the same time, I would also consider not handcuffing him because I don't like people that hit women.
Fair enough. I think that's a good place to end to this week's episode, Coach. Another fine episode, a little bit of overtime, a little bit extra.
With a valuable life lesson. Don't hit women. Don't hit children. And that's about it.
And
hit other dudes. I don't care.
And don't go to school.
I've been punched before.
And don't go to school at Arizona State.
Or don't go to the school at Arizona State.
Maybe that's more appropriate. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Told you, brain cells.
All right, Rusty. This has been another great episode. It's been fun talking fantasy football. If you want to talk fantasy football with us, hit us up at fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at @thefdpod. We want to talk to you. We'll give you, if you throw something out on the fantasy football hashtag, you might get some unsolicited advice, but you can come straight to us for your advice. It's free. It's pretty good. And at the very least, we're going to entertain you, because when you're right 52% of the time, what's that? What's the math there, Arizona State boy?
I think my first and second wives went from Arizona State, and my alimony payments are 48% of my garnished paycheck. So, 48%.
And that's why, folks, you come to the Fantasy Domination Podcast for basic math and fantasy advice. This has been a production of Harpoon Media, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, thank you.